98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. Brought to you by Collins Comfort Masters, proud home services partner of the Arizona Cardinals. 4 o'clock reset.
Here we go with the top stories of the day here on the Burns and Gambo show, presented to you at 4 o'clock. We call it the 4 o'clock reset, and we start today's 4 o'clock reset with a broken promise from my co-host and good friend John Gambadoro, who promised me that if I stayed up late and watched U of A and UCLA last night, that I would be rewarded for that. And that
like
is
Pat Benatar, promises in the dark.
Well, the lights were very much on when you made that promise to me, but I promise you that I fell asleep thinking, what the hell was Gambo talking about?
About Willis? That game was terrible. Yeah. U of A looked awful. I was bragging on U of A. I've watched them so many times this year, and they've looked like one of the best teams in the country. And you know, talked to many a college basketball analyst, Doug Gottlieb, Casey Jacobson, and everybody's really buying into U of A, and they get slaughtered last night. They couldn't have played worse than they played.
Nope, they couldn't have. They'll get their chance again against UCLA 1 week from tomorrow, as a matter of fact, at McHale Center, in another game that's going to be on ESPN. In between that and before that game against the Bruins, they are visiting ASU on Saturday at 12:30. In the meantime, also last night, Coyotes on the road. They lost to the Pittsburgh Penguins by a score of 6-3. Pittsburgh trailed early in the third before exploding in that game, and the Penguins have now won six straight as the Coyotes on the road continue to look for wins. Gambo?
Yeah, and trade deadline not too far away with the NHL. All eyes on Jacob Chychrun and some of the trades that the Coyotes could make. They've got a ton of draft picks this year with the first rounders and the second rounders. They have all their own draft picks. Next year is supposed to be a great draft. I would not be surprised. Bill Armstrong does some wheeling and dealing to put himself in a position to acquire some extra picks for next year.
The New York Giants today kind of, in a way, doubled down on Daniel Jones as their quarterback in introducing their new general manager today. He said about Daniel Jones, quote, "The kid has physical ability. He's got arm strength. He's athletic. He can run. I'm really excited to work with Daniel. When the new staff gets in here, we'll build an offense around Daniel to accentuate what he does best," close quote.
So they're not giving up on him. They're going to give him another shot, try to build a good offensive line around him. And, we'll see. Dave Gettleman, retired as the GM not too long ago, and they've gone through a bunch of coaches, McAdoo and Sherma and now Judge. And so they've got to find the right guy. I think after a few years, you could say that Daniel Jones is probably not the guy, but they're going to probably give him one more shot.
Yeah, I would certainly say that, but it does seem like they're sticking with him for now. Our top story of the day today, though, on this Suns Day around here on the Burns and Gambo Show. The Suns in Utah tonight taking on the Jazz, nationally televised game, and of course the back end of a home and home, if you will, between two of these top teams in the Western Conference. And tonight, once again, a lot of it is going to be about guys who aren't there, though it's not going to be as bad as it was on Monday night. In particular for the Utah Jazz, at least at this point, it appears as if they still won't have Donovan Mitchell, they still won't have Rudy Gobert. But as of right now, names that are not showing up on the injured list are guys like Bogdanovich and Ingles and O'Neal and others. So Utah might be getting back to fuller strength, whereas the Suns, still missing Ayton, still missing Crowder, still missing Payne, they're still going into this one a little shorthanded when they're in Utah tonight.
Yeah, I checked with the Jazz a short time ago. No Rudy, no Donovan. They're not sure about Bogdanovich, but they think there's a good chance Ingles, Royce, and Conley all play tonight. So Ingles, Royce, Conley, chances that they'll play. Definitely no Rudy, definitely no Donovan, and a big maybe on Bogdanovich.
Yeah, Monty Williams talking after the game on Monday against Utah, calling it the strangest season of his career.
Never in my career. I mean, this is about the strangest era of basketball from missing player standpoint that I've ever seen. The COVID stuff, the injuries, it's just a different basketball. And I think the number of starters that are missing in the league right now is probably, I don't know if I should even talk about it because I don't know the numbers, but it just seems like a lot of those guys are out. A lot of rotation guys are out of the league right now.
It's all over the league. I didn't watch the game last night, but I was watching some highlights between the Lakers and the Nets from last night. The Nets are missing a bunch of guys. The Clippers were missing a bunch of guys, bunch of guys last night. Obviously, some that we knew about, others that we didn't. In that regard, it has been a very strange year. It's been a very challenging year. I don't know how much of it has to do with kind of the quick turnaround for some teams, right? The season ended. It started late. It ended late. It started on time this year. I don't know if in that short window of getting ready for the next season, the guys were so out of their routine, it left them more susceptible to injuries. I don't know, but it does seem like every night it's like a running dialogue of, and we've really seen it recently, the Pacers, all five of their starters didn't play. The Jazz the other night, six of their top 7 minutes guys didn't play. It seems like it's every night every team the Suns are playing are missing a bunch of dudes.
Sure. And, you know, if you play in the Suns, you know, you haven't played D.A., you know, no campaign, no Jay Crowder, no Dario Saric, no Frank Kaminsky. So they're not, you know, we tend to overlook it because they keep winning because they're key guys. They haven't had Frank in a long time, you know, and D.A.'s missed a bunch of games. And, you know, campaign's going to be out for a few weeks now, and Jay's missed games, and Cam Johnson's missed games. So they've gone through it, too. I mean, you know, Dario Saric was a key part of their team last year, and he hasn't played all year. And Frank Kaminsky's been out for a long, long time. So not the same level of players that other teams are having injuries and suffering, but they've had their share of injuries as well.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And it gets masked by the fact that they're winning, masked by the fact that they've got the best record in the NBA. I mean, it's been significant at times. I mean, I know, you know, Chris Paul's been out there the whole time, and Mikal Bridges has been out there. Their third best player has missed not quite half the season, but a big chunk of the season in DeAndre Ayton. Devin Booker has missed games with that hamstring issue. It's just not as obvious. You're right, because the Suns have found a way to navigate their way through it, to win their way through it. It doesn't seem to affect them the way it's affected other teams.
Yeah, and you know, to be honest with you, it's kind of like when your kid comes home and says, well, you know, but everybody else in the class got a bad grade. Well, I don't care about everybody else. I just care about you. What matters for the Suns is just them. I think, though, you know, I'm expecting DA back for Sunday's game against San Antonio. I would say there's a chance he could be back Friday against Minnesota, but more likely it'll be Sunday against San Antonio. So he's right on the verge of coming back. Jay's not that far away, and campaign is a couple weeks, and they'll evaluate him. But you know, I looked at the substitution patterns, and I watched Elfrid Payton got into the game right away. You've got a guy in Elfrid Payton who's got a lot of experience and can play the game. So you know, you're not coming in with a second round draft pick with no experience who's got no chance of competing at this level. You're coming in with a guy that was a first round pick and he's got a lot of experience under his belt.
Texas, your thoughts on the Suns, the FanDuel text line. It is there for you at 620-620. You can text us whatever you want during the Burns and Gambo show. We get a chance. We're going to read the best ones on the air. When we come back, we'll stick with the Phoenix Suns. And we just got done talking about how they survive all these injuries that they've suffered. It's about depth. And at one position in particular, historic depth for the Phoenix Suns. How important is it that they're this deep at this position is what we'll talk about coming up on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Suns Day, brought to you by Four Peaks Wow Wheat on the home of Phoenix Suns basketball. 98.7 FM Arizona's Sports Station. Suns Day with Burns and Gambo.
Suns Day presented to you by Four Peaks. Suns and the Jazz tonight, a later one. 8 o'clock tip time here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, and as we talked about in the last segment, Jazz, according to the information from Gambo, looks like they're getting some, not all, but some of their players back. Still going to be without Donovan Mitchell, still going to be without Rudy Gobert. From the Suns' perspective, still no DeAndre Ayton, though. Gambo, as you've reported a couple times over the course of our show today, he is close. He's very, very close to returning. You think by Sunday against the Spurs, right?
Yeah, there's an outside chance he could play Friday, but I think that the target date is Sunday. So I would not be surprised if he misses the game Friday against Minnesota, but would be back for the game against the Spurs on Sunday. That's what I'm expecting. You know, no definite, but just tell you what I'm hearing. So what I'm hearing is that he'll be back within the next couple of games, and I think it's more likely that the target date is Sunday's game against San Antonio.
JaVale McGee has also been ruled out for tonight's game. In full disclosure, he was actually scheduled to be our guest yesterday, I believe, and he was a last-minute scratch on the air with us because he ended up being a last-minute scratch for the Suns with that knee injury, and we had a great conversation with Ish Wainwright and found out that he's a big Kansas City Chiefs fan and that he and Mikal Bridges are getting ready for a big showdown at the Chiefs and the Rams meet in the Super Bowl, and he and Cam Johnson are getting ready for a big showdown in the AFC Championship game because apparently Cam Johnson's a big Bengals fan too. But you go into a game like tonight, okay, so no JaVale McGee, no DeAndre Ayton. Bismack Biyombo has barely been here long enough for a cup of coffee, and yet he's parlayed that 10-day contract into a full contract for the rest of the year. I would presume he gets the start. I would presume Jalen Smith backs him up. Maybe those roles are flipped. But either way, Gambo, depth that we've never seen maybe in the history of this organization at the center position is something that's really different about this year's Suns team that we're just not accustomed to.
No, it's one of the things. I was reading a story in the Sporting News, and they Phoenix Suns depth at center could push them to a championship. Yes. I mean, last year, it was after DeAndre, there was a lot of questions. What do you have? You know, the year before, you know, when they were in the bubble, you had Aaron Baines on that team. They didn't bring him back. He was kind of broken down at that point, and he was like 35 years old, so I'm glad that they didn't. But what a nice response to get JaVale McGee and Bismack Biyombo to back up DeAndre Ayton. I mean, Ayton has been fantastic. He continues to get better. But DeAndre Ayton has missed 18 games.
Yes.
18 games. Their record, 15-3. Without their starting center in the league, they're 15-3. That tells you everything you know about the quality of the depth behind DeAndre Ayton at center.
We had Bismack Biyombo on our show on Friday, and man, we were so glad to have him. It was a really great conversation, and if you missed it, I would actually encourage you, if you're a Suns fan, to go to ArizonaSports.com or the Arizona Sports app and listen to it, because the things he told us about why he chose the Suns, about how he decided to stay here, it was pretty remarkable stuff from Bismack Biyombo.
I just care about winning, man. And then as long as the coach know what he has on the team, it doesn't matter what happened. Rather you play high minutes, low minutes. The most important thing is winning the ball game. Nobody going to care at the end of the day if you play 30 minutes and the team loses. Nobody can. And I've been on teams like that, you know. So the reality of it is that in our situation, me personally, I just care about winning. Whoever is on the floor got to get it done, then by all means.
It was a really great conversation.
It was. A lot of people said that's one of the best interviews they've ever heard on the radio station. Not just on our show, but on a radio station. And I was blown away. I mean, after he got done, you know, you think, okay, you got Bismack Biyombo. I mean, his passion and love and desire to win was just very refreshing. And I think a lot of the guys on the Suns team are like that right now. And that's why I think he's here. I think he's here because he really fits into, you know, what James Jones has been trying to build. I mean, listen, I told you earlier in the show, we'll talk about it later, I don't think they're going to be making any trades at the deadline. They're not going to get Eric Gordon. And when James Jones was on, he talked about continuity and how important continuity is to him. You know, Bismack is here before the trade deadline. But he fit in from day one, didn't he? Like, right from the first game he fit in.
Yeah, he did. I mean, his first game with the Suns, he was 5-7 from the floor for 11 points. I'm looking at his game log right now, and it's remarkable. In that, three of his last four games, he scored 17, 21, and 16 points.
21 was his career high. I've been in the league for a long time. He never scored that many in a game.
Yeah, 14, 13, and 13 rebounds. Gambo, we're talking about a guy last year in 66 games with the Charlotte Hornets, in which he started 36 of them. He averaged about 5 points per game.
I don't get it. I just... You know, sometimes you think, man, is it the coaching staff? This guy was on Charlotte. He was on Toronto. He was on Orlando. And, like, you get
Chris Paul.
A lot of it has to do with Chris Paul. Chris Paul. I mean, a lot of it has to do with Chris Paul. Because not everybody has Chris Paul.
He's just,
all right?
I'm telling you, man, he is just... If I were a big man and I wanted a bump in my numbers, I'd be like, man, how can I get on Phoenix? How can I go play with the Suns?
Yeah.
Because you go play for the Phoenix Suns and you got that guy feeding you the ball. The
easy way baskets.
Yeah, and I don't want to make it sound like Bismack Biyombo has nothing to do with the success, and it's all about – it's not. But Chris Paul, whether it's JaVale McGee, whether it's DeAndre Ayton, whether it was Jalen Smith for a time before they even had Bismack Biyombo, the way he sets up big men for success, it is perhaps unparalleled in the history of the NBA. And I know that's a lot of hyperbole, but I don't know if there's ever been a point guard as good in the history of this league – at setting up big men to be as successful as they are. That Bismack Biyombo can come in here and in three of his last four games have 17, 21, and 13 points or whatever it was I said, and he averaged 5 points per game last year, starting 36 times for the Charlotte Hornets, it's unnatural. It shouldn't happen like that. This is not how it's supposed to work, you know?
Yeah. I mean, listen, you think about how well Karl Malone was set up by John Stockton, right? I mean, you think You just think about some of those, how well he was. Moses Malone when he was with Maurice Cheeks. I'm just thinking about some of them, you know, with me that just made a lot of sense. But, you know, Tim Duncan with Tony Parker, that was a really good setup. That pick and roll was really good. So, like, but this is pretty remarkable. I mean, it's pretty remarkable that when you're a big man, first, doesn't matter who. And that's why I always pay attention to substitution patterns. And say, you know, Chris comes out of the game early to bring in a backup point guard, whether it's campaign, and now it's Elfrid Payton. And then, you know, when Book goes to the bench, Paul comes back in and he plays with that second unit. And those guys get an opportunity to play with Chris Paul. And they love it, right? I mean, Book's not on the court. You don't have to worry about Book jacking up all the shots. And you're out there with Chris Paul. And, you know, for about 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 minutes, you get to run with Chris Paul. A lot of that. And a lot of times the second unit has campaign. But, you know, we've seen Chris Paul and campaign play together at times. So it really is fun for those guys that the way Monty does his substitution patterns that they get a little bit of run with Chris.
All right, two quick thoughts about this because I think this is a really interesting topic. Okay, thought number one, in last year's NBA Finals, their depth at center was exposed. And it certainly does seem like with JaVale McGee and Bismack Biyombo, that James Jones has tried to compensate for how thin they were at the spot last year during the NBA Finals. And the other thought that comes to mind, given the success that they've had with all these big men who have come in here, has it in any way diminished DeAndre Ayton's value to the team when it's apparent that other centers can come in here and, for lack of a better phrase, come in off the street and have immediate success like this?
It's a really, really good question. Look, you know, DeAndre Ayton did not get that extension. The Suns did not want to bid against themselves. They didn't want to be in a hostage-type situation. DA wanted to be respected by his peers. But, you know, you look at the free agent class, you say, oh, Michael Porter Jr., well, that's a smaller market team paying a guy on potential. And Jaren, smaller market team paying on potential. And maybe DA's not in the same level as Luka and Trey, which are absolute no-brainers, but some of those other guys getting the deals they are, they're on smaller market teams, and those teams can't take the – they got to take the chance. They got to pay on potential and hope that it works out. So, you know, it's – you know, in the past, it was to the team's advantage to lock a player in before they hit the market to get a bargain. It was a bargain. You did it. Now – you know, giving a guy a max before he hits the market sometimes seems foolish because, again, you're bidding against yourself. But so in the past, yes, lock in a player before he hits the market, try to get a bargain, that worked. Now, giving the guy that max, it just, you know, before he hits the market, just for a lot of teams, it doesn't seem worthwhile.
Yeah, I thought he was a max player. You thought he was a max player. I still do. But the further we go along where the Suns are making all big men look really good, it does make me wonder if that starts to erode that a little bit, if it erodes DeAndre Ayton's case about him wanting to be a max player in this league. Just food for thought as we move forward. When we come back in what might be the strangest NBA season of all time, as Monty said a little bit ago, Suns have found a way to not only be better than everybody else in the league, but they're doing it at a historic pace. Can they keep that pace up? Well, it depends, and we'll tell you what it depends on next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Suns Day. brought to you by Four Peaks Wow Wheat on the home of Phoenix Suns basketball. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns Day with Burns and Gambo.
And we'll get back to our Suns conversation in just a moment here on 98.7 FM, Arizona sports station. But first, our poll question. And for that, let's turn it back to Eric Ruby here on 98.7 FM, Arizona sports station.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
All right, Eric, what do you got for us today?
Well, if you guys didn't hear, one of maybe the best coaches in the NFL walked away from his job the other day, and in order to hire him, a team would have to give up at least some sort of compensation. So the question for today is, how much are you willing to give up for a coach like Sean Payton? The options, multiple first-round picks, a single first-round pick, some second-day picks, or some third-day picks.
How much would you give up for him, Gambo?
First-round pick.
First-rounder. I know it's going to cost at least that. It's probably going to cost more than that. I think Sean Payton is one of the best coaches in this league. I would give up a first-round pick for Sean Payton. I really would. Well, you just have to give him a lot of money, and you'd have to give him control of your entire football operations. Otherwise, he's not going to come and coach your team. So those are things, if you're the Cowboys, if you're the Cardinals, and you would think about such a thing a year from now, those are things that would have to be considered. Go ahead, Eric. I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, no worries. Like you said, you're going to have to give up more than just what you give to get him. You're going to give up the power as well. But the audience agrees with you guys. A first-round pick is leading with 36.1%. And second place is some second-day picks at 24.4%. In third place is multiple first-round picks at 20.5%. And in a close one, in last place, third-day picks at 19%. Pretty evenly spread out. But when we posted this, a lot of people in the comments were bringing up Bountygate. So I decided to ask everybody, do you still care about Bountygate? And the results to that one is 78.7% say no, 21.3% say yes, but that 21.3%, they're pretty loud.
You should see the comments on the question, Gambo. I'm like, initially, especially, people were responding like, man, how could you even ask a question like that? He's the guy who put a bounty out on Kurt.
Right.
He's and I hadn't even thought of that. I mean, it was so long ago that it wasn't even occurring to me that Cardinal fans wouldn't be interested in Sean Payton because of Bountygate. Now it's, you know, clear from our other Twitter poll that, you know, 4 out of 5 people in our audience really don't care about it. I didn't think that was still a thing that we thought about with Sean Payton,
not
but for
either.
Some people it is.
Yeah, me either. I didn't think that at all. Look, I mean, Sean Payton's going to cost $15 million a year probably. He was getting paid 10, so if he's going to come back, he's going to get more than that. He's not going to go for less, so you probably have to pay him 12 to 15, rough estimate as well. But yeah, to me, it wasn't even a thought of mine. I didn't even think about Bountygate as far as the team wanting to sign him.
No, not at all. Suns Jazz tonight, 8 o'clock tip time here on the home of the Suns. And for Monty Williams, yeah, it's been tough to play hard every day. It's been tough to not have any letdowns every single day. But that's why the Suns have the best record in the league. That's why the Suns, as of right now, have the best win percentage that they've had in a season. And a lot of it, as Monty said, it's a luxury, an absolute luxury to have a guy like Chris Paul at the end of these games.
Yeah, I mean, it's certain that is a luxury, you know. Sometimes you use that word and it doesn't really bring the same meaning, but it is a luxury to have the ball in his hands. Makes the right plays, and he's not afraid to take those shots.
And that, Gambo, has been, for all the talk about all the different guys the Suns have missed, and they have missed plenty of guys. DeAndre Ayton and now Jay Crowder, campaign, Devin Booker missed some time. Our friends over at Bright Side of the Sun point out that the two constants so far this year, and I knock on wood when I say this, are Chris Paul and Mikal Bridges, the only two Suns to appear in all 46 games this season. Bridges hasn't missed a game since high school. Chris Paul, that's crazy. And then Chris Paul, you think back to his career just 3 years ago, 4 years ago. The knock on Chris Paul was that he couldn't stay healthy, that he couldn't stay on a floor. And it's like, that has become a forgotten narrative, and it's forgotten for a reason. He's made people forget about that narrative about him with his ability to stay on the floor.
Well, remember, he missed a couple of playoff games last year, and he got injured in the Lakers game. Remember when he got injured in the Lakers game? And that was something that we talked about a whole lot. You know, oh my goodness, you know, Chris Paul's out, because he had missed playoff games before. So for me, it wasn't the regular season as much as, you know, it's the playoff game. You know, how's he going to be? So that was the thing, you know, with me and Chris, with Chris Paul, was when he missed a couple of those games last year. But then he came back and he was fine, and he was great. And, yeah, I think, listen, he takes great care of his body now. They joked around about the vegan diet, whatever it is, right? As you get older, you change your approach to how you take care of your body. He has done something to take care of his body to where he is able to get through these games, and he's not exhausted. He even said the other day, after playing all those minutes, I'm good. Let's play again tomorrow.
I feel good. I'm cool. Yeah, I'll hoop again tomorrow if you want to.
Vegan.
Well, because there's 2015 Western Conference semifinals, 2016 Western Conference first round, 2018 Western Conference Finals, the Rockets and the Warriors. Everybody remembers that one. Like, there's been, to me, it wasn't the regular season. It was the injuries in the playoffs that were really a factor for him in several years. And I think most people remember the 2018 Western Conference Finals, the Warriors and the Rockets, and that one hurt bad because it looked like the Rockets were going to go to the NBA Finals. They were up 3-2. They had a chance to clinch it, but then he got a hamstring injury in Game 5, and he wasn't able to play in Game 6 and Game 7, and they lost.
Yeah. Yeah, and those are when it really starts to pile up. And, of course, he missed time last year during the postseason, too. COVID, the wrist was obviously bothering him. He had it fixed almost the minute the season ended. But so far during the regular season, I mean, this revolving door of players the Suns have had, and they've experienced it, maybe not to the same effect as other teams in the league because the Suns have the best record. But make no mistake, Chris Paul's continuity, and to a slightly lesser extent, Mikal Bridges' continued availability. Man, if you were going to handpick two guys that you would want to not miss a game for your team, those would be two guys, two really good guys to start with right there for the level of kind of calmness that they bring to the floor. You're hard-pressed to find a time where either Chris Paul or Mikal Bridges isn't on the floor. Of them is almost always on the floor for the Suns.
Boy, as long as Chris Paul is playing, their record when Booker's out, their record when DA's out, their record when guys are out is phenomenal. You take Chris Paul out for any extended period of time, that's not going to be the case. It's not going to be the case.
Yep.
Campaign and Elfrid Payton are not going to play at that anywhere near that level and be that clutch in the fourth quarter. And so that's the guy like that. And then Mikal, I agree with you, but just the Mikal's versatility, and he could score and he could defend. And, you know, having him on the court with the steal, his length is just unreal. Sometimes see him come up with these plays. Just almost these guys think that they have these easy passes that they can make across the court, not realizing just how damn long he is.
Yeah.
And he comes up with these steals that are just incredible. So, yeah, those are two guys that, you know, that you could argue those are the two guys they can least afford to lose.
For the reason you just described, it does from time to time make me wonder why Chris Paul doesn't get mentioned more as an MVP candidate again in this. I know he got some love last year. I think he finished fifth, if I remember right, in the voting. The further this goes, and as long as the Suns continue to have the best record, and if they end up winning 80% of their games and finish with 66, 67 wins, I do wonder if at some point Chris Paul's MVP candidacy ramps back up, or is it always going to be hard for him because he's sharing the spotlight with a guy like Devin Booker, who is a superstar in this league as well. I don't know if that works against him in that conversation.
Shouldn't.
But I feel like sometimes maybe it does when people are looking at this team.
Listen, they're the best team in the NBA, and they're the best team in the NBA, and he's the main reason why. He's not the only reason why, but he's the main reason why. I agree with you. I mean, it's as you watch a guy play night in and night out, right? They're playing tonight. I can't wait. Like, I'm excited. Like,
me too.
Even though, like, I just, every time they play, it's much watch television. I'm really looking forward to the game. I never miss a game, neither do you. And I think we appreciate him more. I think we appreciate him because we see how much he means to their success night in and night out.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, It was supposed to be a matchup between college basketball titans, and it still might be when it's all said and done. But if that's what last night was, UCLA proved who the real titan is. Plus, some rumors, not even a rumor really, just a suggestion. Is Bobby Hurley in any kind of trouble at ASU? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
Approaching the 5 o'clock hour here on the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns. Live from the Auction Community Studios. Gambo, before we move on and talk about the U of A game that you asked really nicely for me to watch last night,
yeah.
And I did, just because out of respect for our partnership and our friendship, and I've never felt more let down than I was last night from that empty
Think about me. I mean, I'm the one who, you know, it's like me telling you to go see this movie. It's going to be great and everything, and you're like, man, that was the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
That's why, Gambo, I'm always very careful about the recommendations that I give you of what to watch and movies that I liked, because I understand that not every movie I like, you and I have different tastes when it comes to stuff like that. The TV show I'm watching right now on HBO Max, The Station 11, not your jam. That is not your show. You should not watch it. I don't think you'd like it very much. I love it. I don't think you'd like it very much. So I just be careful with the recommendations. Before we talk about U of A, though, this is a report coming from the Giants beat writer and columnist for the New York Daily News. His name is Pat Leonard, and he is reporting that Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll has emerged as the favorite to be the Dolphins' next head coach.
Ooh, okay. That was a lot of the talk about Vance was very much if Daboll doesn't get the job, if he goes somewhere else to the Giants or something, then Vance is the guy. So I think Vance was their second choice, but I don't know, just based on what a lot of people were speculating, it looked like Vance was their second choice.
Yep. So if he ends up there, and maybe you've heard different, there is not another known, at least by me, interview that Vance Joseph has had for another head coaching gig in the NFL. I would assume if Daboll gets that job, that might be it for Vance Joseph, that he would be back.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
I don't know that for a fact. Maybe he's interviewed with somebody and it hasn't been reported. But to the best of my knowledge, that's the only gig he's interviewed for. And if Daboll gets it, I would assume Vance Joseph is back as the defensive coordinator of the Cards next year.
Yeah, very likely. Yeah, I would expect Vance. If he doesn't get the Miami job, I would expect that he's back here as the defensive coordinator, for sure.
All right, look, we're joking about this. Of course, I'm going to watch U of A basketball, whether Gambo recommends them or not. But as we've been talking about for the last couple days, I've been a little slow to warm to college basketball from the last couple of years. I just haven't paid as much attention to it as I normally did when I was a younger guy. This U of A team, ranked third in the country, kicking everybody's butt, destroying everybody. A big nationally televised showdown in the Pac-12, the kind that reminds you of the good old days of the Pac-12 conference. U of A versus UCLA. Everything about that was hype last night, and it did not live up to the hype.
No, for UCLA it did. For UCLA, they played great defense. They blocked, I don't know, 100 shots. It seemed like they blocked every shot. They were hitting everything. I mean, for U of A, like it was there was this guy that looked like Jim McMahon with this bandana around his head, and he was blocking every shot the U of A took. I couldn't believe what I was watching. It was tough because I've seen U of A play so many times, and they've been so good to the point where I'm like, wow, they got to be one of the best teams in the country. Tabellus is fantastic. Mathurin is great. Keir is good. Creason was awful last night, man. He could not hit a shot to save his life. He kept shooting and shooting and shooting. So I was waiting for somebody to shake him, like, hey, guy, like these shots aren't even close. Like, they're clanking off the backboard. Like, they're not even close. Stop shooting. U of A had a little bit of a run. They had back-to-back threes by Tabellus and Mathurin. They cut it to 53-46, but then that was it. Miles Johnson had a three-point play. UCLA won an 8-0 run. They put the game away.
Yeah, and look, nobody that's a tough place to go play. And keep in mind, and I'm not trying to make any excuses at all for U of A, not one bit, but understand that that crowd last night at Poly Pavilion, that was the first time they had been allowed in that building since, what, December 5th, I think, was the date that I saw.
Right.
Because of all the mandates and all the shutdowns and everything like that in Southern California. Our director of our show, Lauren, her sister, was in line since 10 a.m. in the morning to get into Poly Pavilion for that game. And I even read this morning that you were only allowed to get out of line for like 10 minutes for a bathroom break. And that was it. After that, you were going to lose your place in line if you left that line for any more than 10 minutes. I say that because if you watched the game last night, and I did, it was very obvious that was a very intense crowd. That was a very intense environment. And for U of A, you know, I don't know if they've really been tested like that this year, both in terms of the quality of the opponent and, quite frankly, the quality of the fan last night. That was a pretty charged-up college basketball environment, and if nothing else, it might be good experience for them to kind of take from that and learn from it moving forward, because that's something they might need to get ready for, yeah, depending when tournament time runs around.
Yeah, these are two-story programs. UCLA has 12 guys in the NBA right now. U of A has 11, and you're looking forward to that game because one team was number 3 in the country, the other was number 7 in the country. And there was a one point where you know, U of A missed 9 straight shots, and they were 3 for 20 from the field. They just couldn't make any baskets. They just could not make any baskets at all. And then all of a sudden, UCLA just went on that run. They put the game away, and they were blocking shots. The Watson kid was blocking shots, and Bernard was hitting threes. And now they're going to play again at McHale. They're going to play again at McHale, and I think U of A will win that game. They're very good at home. And it's UCLA also has a loss to Oregon, who, by the way, I think Oregon lost last night to Colorado. So that U of A still in the driver's seat for, you know, winning the Pac-12 title. They're going to have to beat UCLA at home, though.
All right, real quick, our buddy John Wilner over at the San Jose Mercury News, he's a Pac-12 insider, and he's the best Pac-12 insider, wrote for a little bit today about Bobby Hurley, wondering about whether a guy like Bobby would be on the hot seat. The way he stormed off the court the other day against Stanford, the suspension, the $20,000 fine, he writes, it was a bad look for a coach under increasing scrutiny as his program staggers and stumbles for a second consecutive season, but Hurley's accomplishments are too great and the program's downturn too short for the school to seriously consider a coaching change. In our view, only a complete stretch run cratering with the players quitting on their coach should move Hurley to the brink of losing his job, close quote.
Yeah, listen, you know, COVID was really tough last year on that team with Christopher and Bagley. There was a lot of expectations, and it just didn't happen for them. And they had the 2 years in a row that were fantastic, and they went to the NCAA tournament, and they won a lot of games, and you know, you thought that they were going to be a powerhouse in the Pac-12, or at least the top 3 team for a number of years. But these last few years have been really, really tough on Bobby. I mean, the Christopher Bagley combination did not work out. Bagley's back, but he's been hurt, and they just haven't been able to turn the. They played some good games, like the San Francisco game. I watched that whole game. San Francisco's good, and they had him on the ropes the whole game. It was a home game for them, but they end up losing at the end of the game. So they've lost some really tough games. They had a nice win against GCU. ASU did. That was a good win for them against GCU. But overall, it's been a disappointing year for Bobby Hurley and that team.
Coming up on the Burns and Gambo show, the trade deadline is what's coming up in the NBA. It's approaching fast. Many Suns fans are wondering if the Suns are going to continue to push all their chips into the middle of the table and go all in. But a question lingers over this team. Have they already pushed all their chips into the center of the table? Are there any chips left to push in? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo show.